I'd like you to turn back, please, in your Bibles to the passage that we read from Matthew's Gospel earlier on, Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to be looking at verses 18 to 24. Matthew chapter 9, from verse 18 to 24. Let's pray again as you come to God's Word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have your Word. And we thank you that you speak to us through it. And we pray that this morning we will know the help of your Holy Spirit to understand what it is you are saying to us. And that same Holy Spirit enabling us to put into practice in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it seems that these days there are many fewer religious programs on TV than there were at one time. Now, we still have songs of praise, don't we? But that's probably about it. There were a lot more at one time religious type programs. No doubt that says something about the world in which we live, doesn't it? But on the few occasions when there are mentions of God, people often talk about faith. And very often in a somewhat vague way, you'll hear them say something like this: "Oh, I don't know what I would do without my faith," they might say. But here's the important thing about faith. Faith has to be in something or someone. It's not just a vague concept. Each of us exercises faith throughout our lives. As you're sitting where you are this morning, you are exercising faith in that pew that you're sitting on. When you get into your car, you have faith that the car will get you from A to B. Depending on the car, that's sometimes more usual than others, isn't it? But faith, anyway. We exercise faith in other people too, don't we? If you ask someone to go to the shop and get something, you exercise faith that they will come back with what you've asked them to get. And so throughout our lives, we exercise faith. And in this passage that we're looking at this morning, we see people exercising faith. But the point is this: their faith, their complete confidence and trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is good reason to have faith and trust and confidence in Jesus. Why? Because of who Jesus is. Jesus is none other than God himself. Come in the flesh. Come as a human being. And here in our passage this morning, he demonstrates with power who he is. And so we have four healings in this section this morning. And I would like to look at each of these healings in turn and then see what we can learn from them. So first of all, there was a girl. Verse 18, while he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died." A synagogue leader, an important person, came and knelt down before Jesus. Now, this synagogue leader must have recognized something of who Jesus was, because that was a big thing for him to do. Because a lot of the religious leaders at that time didn't acknowledge Jesus at all. And it was going against what they were saying. But this man came down and he knelt in front of Jesus. He must have thought something of Jesus because he showed great faith in Jesus. Because we are told, he says, "Come and put your hand on her and she will live." You see, he knew that his daughter had died. And he believed that Jesus had the power to bring her back to life again. Faith on the part of this man. And so Jesus went to the house. We see in verse 24, when Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house, and there was a noisy crowd outside. They knew what had happened. They knew that this girl had died. And so the crowds were there, I guess, to pay their respects. And there were people, we're told, playing the pipes, playing something very mournful. Now, you might think that a dignified silence might have been more appropriate, but that was what was going on at that time, and that was culturally what happened then. If somebody had died, there'd be people and there'd be noise. And Jesus walks into that very dramatically. The crowds that were outside, the people who were playing the mournful music, and Jesus is very direct with them. He says to them, "Go away." That sounds very harsh, doesn't it? Why would Jesus tell those people who were there to pay their respects to go away? But Jesus had a very good reason for that, because Jesus knew that they were not to be mourning, because he says the girl is not dead, just asleep, he says. Now, of course, the crowd didn't believe that. We're told they laughed at him. How ridiculous, they must have thought. But they didn't realize who Jesus was, and they didn't realize the power that he had. Jesus made her alive again. So yes, she had in a sense just been asleep, and Jesus rose her from that. And so Jesus went in, he took the girl by the hand, and yes, she was really alive. And as we're told in verse 26, news of this spread through all that region. So Jesus raised the dead girl to life. That was the first healing. The second healing was of a woman. We see in verse 22, as Jesus is on his way to this girl who died, just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. Now, she'd been bleeding for 12 years. She'd been in a terrible state. But she too showed great faith in Jesus. In the same way that that synagogue leader showed faith in Jesus, this woman did too. Because we read that she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." She knew the power that Jesus had, and she knew that she didn't even need to see Jesus face to face. She put her faith and trust in Jesus. It didn't matter that Jesus didn't see her. But then, of course, Jesus did turn around her, and he said, "Take heart, daughter," verse 22, "your faith has healed you," and the woman was healed at that moment. And so Jesus again saw the faith that that girl put in him, and she was healed too. So we have the daughter was healed, was risen from the dead, and we have this woman who had been healed from the flow of blood. Then we read about two blind men calling out. Verse 27, "Have mercy on us, son of David." You see, they recognized something about Jesus. They called out, "Son of David." They recognized that Jesus in some way was special, because he'd come from the line of David. But Jesus seemed to take no notice of them. Jesus didn't respond to them at all, we're told here. Because we say when he'd gone indoors, the blind man came to him. And it was only then, after he had gone indoors and the blind men came and found Jesus, that he asked them the question, did they have faith in him? Verse 28, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And here they declared, "Yes, Lord." So they then exercised their faith in Jesus, and he touched their eyes and they got their sight back. Now, Jesus says something which we might find surprising. He tells them not to tell anybody. Why would Jesus do that? Well, they'd already called him the son of David. But you see, people the people of this time believed that the Messiah would come from the line of David, but they believed that he would be a great military leader who would come and defeat the Romans. But that wasn't what Jesus was about. Jesus wasn't a great military leader. And he didn't want other people to think that either. So Jesus didn't want that spread. Jesus didn't want people to think here was this man come to defeat the Romans. But the blind men took no notice. They did go around and tell everybody about it. And yes, they had received their sight. They put their faith in Jesus. And then there was another man, which we see, a man who could not speak was brought to Jesus. So, no doubt by this stage, people had seen what Jesus had done. They brought this man to him who couldn't speak and thought to themselves, no doubt Jesus can do something for him. But of course, there was something else going on as well. It wasn't just that he couldn't speak. We're also told that he was demon-possessed. And in fact, that was why he couldn't speak. And so it wasn't only a case of making him speak again. The demons would have to go too. And it would only be when these demons had gone that the man's speech would come back again. And so once again, Jesus performed a miracle. He drove the demon out. And so the man was able to speak again. And once again, everybody around saw it. The crowd was amazed at the end of verse 33 and said, nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. So there were these four healings. There was the small girl, there was the woman, the two blind men, and this other man. And the Pharisees weren't very happy about that, because verse 34 tells us the Pharisees said, it is by the prince of demons he drives out demons. Now that's an extreme thing to say, at least, isn't it? That Jesus was driving out demons through the power of the devil. How on earth could that happen? But you see, they did not understand who Jesus really was. They didn't know, they didn't realize that Jesus truly was God. And it was by the power of God that Jesus was able to do that. So, here we have our four miracles, as I say. So what can we learn from these miracles? And what I want to say to you this morning is this. What we can learn applies to each and every one of us in this congregation this morning. Now, I don't know all of you very well, but I think it's probably fair to say most of us here this morning know Jesus. And these examples of faith can strengthen our faith. But there may be somebody here this morning who hasn't yet come to know Jesus. Well, you can this morning put your faith and your trust in him for the first time, in the same way that these people here put their faith in him. So let's look at the lessons that we can learn. And the first one is this: the lessons of the great faith that was shown. We've already mentioned it. Let's remind ourselves of it. So the synagogue ruler came to Jesus. He believed that Jesus would be able to raise his daughter up. The woman who had been bleeding, she knew that Jesus had the power to make her stop. She knew there's enough power even in the edge of his cloak. The blind men believed that Jesus was able to heal them. And the people who brought the demon-possessed man also had faith that Jesus could do something. And so all these people showed great faith. But you may be saying to me this morning, sitting there, well, what does that have to do with me? These were miracles of healing, weren't they? And yes, don't misunderstand me. I do believe that God does still today perform healings. People do get healed by God. Maybe not quite as much as some people think, but certainly God still heals people physically. But what I want to say about all of these here is that there is a spiritual dimension to all of this. These people were praying that Jesus could do something physically, but what he's calling us to today is to believe that he can do something spiritually. He can provide spiritual healing. Because the Bible tells us that we all need spiritual healing. Why is that? Well, because spiritually, we are all dead. The same as that girl was dead. Spiritually, we are all sick. In the same way that the woman was. Spiritually, we are blind, as those men were. And spiritually, we are under the power of the devil, like the mute man was. And that spiritual problem has been caused by sin. Sin that we inherited from our first parents, from Adam and Eve. Yes, all of us, every single one of us. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And once we recognize that, we need to exercise that great faith in Jesus. The great faith that Jesus can do something about that. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that, yes, there's a problem in your life that needs dealing with? And do you believe that Jesus can do something about it? And so, in the same way that these people had great faith in Jesus, this morning each of us here needs to have great faith in Jesus too. Whether you are a Christian here this morning and you need to, in an ongoing way, continue to have faith in Jesus, or whether you're coming for the first time, faith in Jesus is needed in what he can do. So that was the first thing we see, faith in Jesus. But the second thing is this, Jesus was willing to do something. So in each of these cases, Jesus was willing to perform the miracle. Yes, he did raise the girl from the dead. Yes, he did heal the woman who'd been bleeding. Yes, he did make the two blind men see. Yes, he did drive out the demon in the man so that he could speak again. And that is what Jesus does. You see, Jesus didn't just go to the people and express sympathy for them and go on his way. No, Jesus really did heal them. They believed he had the power, and yes, he did have the power. And he was willing to use his power to perform these miracles. Now, as we said a moment ago, these were physical miracles that Jesus did. But we said a moment ago that we have a spiritual problem. And we also need to believe that Jesus is able to deal with our spiritual problem. And not only do we have to believe that Jesus is able to deal with our spiritual problem, we also need to believe that Jesus is willing to deal with it. He will. How can we be sure? How can we know for certain that Jesus is willing to deal with our sins? It's one thing to say, yes, Jesus can deal with it, but will he? Well, we can confidently say that Jesus is willing to deal with the problem of sin. And do you know why that is? Because after Jesus had done all these miracles, after Jesus had done a whole load of teaching and preaching, what happened to Jesus at the end of his life? He was put to death on a cross. Later in this gospel, later in all the gospel accounts, you read of the way that that happened. And as Jesus hung there on the cross, as Jesus died, he was taking the punishment for sins. Jesus did that for us. Peter writes these words, 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And so, if you're asking, is Jesus willing to do something about my sin? Well, yes, he has done something. He has died on the cross. He willingly went to the cross. And let's be clear about that too this morning. Let's be clear that Jesus willingly went to the cross. This was not an angry father punishing his son. You see, sometimes what Jesus did on the cross is caricatured. It's been called cosmic child abuse and stuff like that. It is nothing of that sort. Jesus willingly went to the cross. And as he did that, he was doing something about the sin problem that we all have. Dying and taking the punishment for us. And because we know that he was willing to do that, we know that he is willing to forgive us today. And so as you see Jesus here performing these miracles, we see that he is willing to forgive us, to perform that miracle of forgiveness in our lives. I wonder, have you asked him to do that this morning? Are you saying, well, I don't think he'd be willing to forgive me? Can I say to you, yes, he is this morning. He is willing to forgive you. He was willing to go to the cross for you. And so he's willing to forgive you this morning. Will you put your trust in him? Because the third thing we see is this. Yes, there was great faith shown. Yes, Jesus was able and willing to forgive. But thirdly, there was a response. We've already seen the faith that those who were healed had in Jesus. Now, we're not told much about them afterwards, but we are told something about the response of those who are around. And it wasn't all positive, because the crowds around the synagogue leader's house, we're told, didn't believe. They laughed at Jesus. They were skeptical. And you know, that is the response of some people today, isn't it? I'm sure many of us here know people like that, don't we? Some of us know people who think following Jesus is just nonsense. You hear it said, don't you? Sometimes read that on social media and so on. People think that it's ridiculous to be following Jesus. They don't believe in him. They don't believe he has any power. In fact, they don't believe, of course, that they have a sin problem to be dealt with, do they? And they certainly don't believe in the Jesus who's able and willing to deal with it. But you see, even though these people were skeptical here, it doesn't stop Jesus performing miracles. Jesus changed those lives. And in our day and generation, where there are people who are skeptical, Jesus is still changing lives. He's still bringing people to know himself. Even though there are many around us who might be skeptical, it doesn't stop his work. Surely there's nobody here this morning who's skeptical, is there? Well, perhaps you just don't realize yet that you have a sin problem to be dealt with, and Jesus is able and willing to deal with it. Perhaps you're here saying, well, yes, I believe that Jesus was a good man. I believe that Jesus taught good things, but you don't think any more than that. Can I urge you this morning, think again. Look at what he did here. Look at what he did willingly. He showed his power. He did it then, and he will do it for you. Will you trust him? So there's skepticism, but there was another reaction here too from the Pharisees. And they had a more sinister idea as to what Jesus was doing, as we saw earlier from verse 34. They said that it was through the power of the devil that Jesus was working. Now, there are not many people today who believe that, I don't think. But there are still people today who will tell you that the Christian faith is somehow dangerous, or the Christian faith is not good for them or society. I'm sure nobody here thinks that, because If you thought that, you wouldn't be here this morning, would you? But we need to be aware that that is the response of some people, that they will say, well, yes, okay, Jesus, religion in general is a bad thing, is not good. But what we then need to do as Christians, if we come across people like that, is to show by our lives and by our words what Jesus has done and that it is a good thing. And it's made a positive change in our lives. And then we need to pray that Jesus will make that same positive change in their lives, because Jesus is able to perform the miracle of forgiveness in anybody's life. It doesn't matter how skeptical they are. It doesn't matter how critical they are of Jesus. He is still able to change their lives. And so those were the reactions of the people around. Skepticism from the crowd and an attitude that said that Jesus was doing something very sinister from the religious leaders. But let's come back to us here this morning. I want to ask you, have you seen your need for a sin problem be dealt with? Do you believe that Jesus is willing to deal with it? I trust that everyone here this morning will be able to give a wholehearted yes to that and put your trust completely in him. And as I said before, for those of us who are Christians here this morning, you need to continue to trust Jesus. In fact, the Christian life is one of continual trust in Jesus. You don't just come to Jesus once at the beginning of your Christian life and leave it there. You trust him every day, don't you, in your life. You come to the back to the illustration of sitting on that pew. Every time you sit on that pew, you're trusting it to hold you. But let's take the examples of these people here who put their faith in Jesus for the first time. And let's be those who live a life of trust in Jesus. Maybe there are those of you who are going through tough times. Maybe those who are going through difficulties. You don't know what to do. Well, you can trust in Jesus. You put your trust in him to forgive you. You are continuing to trust him to forgive you. You can trust in him to take you through your life from day to day. Live a life of trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God willing, when we come back this evening, we're going to look further at the way that God can be trusted for the whole of our lives. We'll be looking at a passage from Exodus where we can see, yes, God can be trusted. But for all of us this morning, let's come to him. Let's put our trust completely in him and live our lives of faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.